Today we are talking about the subject of heaven and how fitting it is. We are entitling it Homecoming in Heaven. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 to verse number 4. Paul is our writer, and he writes, "It is expedient for me, doubtless to glory, I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into," what's the next word, church? Paradise. So we have a third heaven, we have a paradise. "That he was caught up into the paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter." Today I want to talk about the subject of heaven just for a little while, and since it's homecoming, our minds really should be on heaven, because there's coming a day, there'll be this great homecoming in the sky where we meet the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And for some of you, heaven is a whole lot sweeter than it was last year. You've said goodbye to your mom or your dad, maybe a spouse, some children, a grandparent, and heaven just gets a little sweeter, because the older you get, the more there's others waiting on the other side for you. And so today we want to celebrate the fact of heaven. But here's what I want to do. I'm going to hit it hard in the beginning of the introduction. Probably my introduction's longer than my sermon itself, but I'm going to talk about a book that's out there that may be bringing a lot of confusion to a lot of you, and we're going to kind of hit that a little bit, and then we're going to go into the Bible, see what the Bible says about heaven, because you asked for it. So let's go ahead and let's be seated, and we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us, but most of all, we thank you, Lord, today for salvation. I thank you, God, for all that you've done for us, Lord, and what you are doing for us. So lead us and guide us and direct us in our time together. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. As I was saying earlier in my prayer, I remember back in 1999 of getting ready to move to Georgia. The 2000 was Y2K year. Everybody was buying bottled water and building bomb shelters and everything else. They were all nervous about what was going to happen to Y2K. My family was packing it up in Indiana, and we were moving here there in 1999, moved here the very first week of January 2000. And I remember moving here, I wanted to find out everything I could about Fort Oglethorpe. And so I got on the computer and went to the some books and tried to find out where I was going to live, the people and the school system and all this and that. And you know, if I would take the time to really find out where I'm going to live when I move, don't you think it's right for us as believers to take the time out to find about heaven, because we're going to spend all of our eternity there? Can you say amen? At least I hope that you are. I hope the day that you know that you are saved and you are born again. But it seems like the subject of heaven is one that's very confusing. There is a very popular book that's out there today on the bookshelves, and unfortunately, it's even in the Christian bookstores. And let me say this before I begin, you know, kind of attacking the book, I guess, if you want to use that word. The book is called Heaven is for Real. It's about a little boy who had some surgery, and he was in the hospital for many days. And while he was in the hospital, he had what he calls an out-of-body experience. And basically, he is floating above his body. He's looking down at his mom and dad. He sees his baby sister that he knew nothing about, that his mom had miscarried years ago. The little guy's 4 or 5 years old, I believe the story is. And he sees his baby sister in heaven, who his mom had miscarried. The mom had never told the family about the miscarriage. And he comes back after the surgery telling about this. He sees all sorts of sights, and he sees all sorts of sounds that are in heaven. And let me say this first of all, that the book, I admire the faith of these individuals. The dad is a pastor, and he claims to be in the ministry, and I admire their faith. It's a heartwarming story of one family's walk through tragedy and one family's walk through circumstances. However, when people come back and they say, "This is my experience," if their experience does not line up with the Word of God, it is just an experience. Somebody say amen there. And so when I approach a book like that, I've got to put on my critical thinking, theological ball cap and begin looking at somebody's experience or what they say through the lens of Scripture, not by their experience, because experience, basically it's hard to argue experience. It's all subjective in nature, but it's easy for us to look to the Word of God with the objective truth to understand what is real and what is not real about the subject of heaven. It's interesting, the boy in his book, he claims that his favorite thing in heaven was homework, that Jesus actually gave him homework. Now, I know for a lot of students today, if heaven was going to be homework, it would seem like they went to the other place. Can I get a witness there? Huh? If all you're going to do throughout all of eternity is have homework, it doesn't seem heaven to me. He said the favorite thing I had there, it was homework. He also states that everybody there had wings. The people who had died. He's seen his grandpa, I believe it was, or great-grandpa, and his great-grandpa had big, large wings. He had little, small wings. Let me tell you, he also said that everybody looked like angels. First of all, when you go to heaven, the bride of Christ does not evolve into angels. We are the bride of Christ. They are angelic beings. Nowhere in the Word of God. Let me say it again. Absolutely nowhere. And I am 110% assured of what I'm saying. Absolutely nowhere does the Bible say you and I are going to sprout wings when we get to heaven. Now, I'm hoping to sprout hair, but wings... Nowhere in the Bible does it say that we are going to have wings, nor does it say that we are going to be like, we're going to look like angels. You know who you're going to look like? You're going to look like Jesus. You're going to have a wonderful, glorified body fashioned unlike the Son of God. So Jesus is not an angel, he's God. So basically his theology is wrong, and if he's wrong on one part, then he's wrong on everything else. Amen. He also states that there are lights above our heads. On page 73, he also states this. He said when he got to heaven, his dad asked him about the throne of God. He said, "Now, son, did you see the throne of God?" He said, "Yeah, I've seen the throne of God many times." He said, "Well, where was Jesus sitting at?" Well, Jesus was on the right hand of the throne of God. So far, so good. God's on the throne. Jesus on the right hand of God the Father. But he also says Gabriel's on the left side. Sitting on the left side of God the Father. So here you got God the Father, and here's Jesus, and then here's an angel. Nowhere in the Word of God does it even remotely teach. When it talks about the right hand of God the Father, it is a phrase for a position of authority. Some would say amen. And so Jesus is sitting in a place of authority. So when I read the book, you know, I have to see that the boy is absolutely wrong. And Matt Lowry, he was doing an interview with a boy on the news network, and he said this. He said, "How vivid are your memories today? Can you close your eyes and remember exactly what heaven and Jesus looked like?" And the little guy said, he's 11, 12 years old now. He said, "Well, I remember most of it, but since time has come by, you forget." Let me tell you something. If God allowed me to see heaven today, I would absolutely never, ever forget. The apostles of Jesus Christ, when they seen the risen Savior, are you to tell me that our apostles, as time passed on after the resurrection, that they forgot who Jesus was, that they forgot what he looked like, they perhaps forgot some of the things that he said? Absolutely not. They believed it so much that they were willing to lay their life down in martyrdom because it was such a reality. As a matter of fact, heaven and Jesus Christ was really a more of a reality of them than where they were standing at that moment. They believed in the place called heaven. Can you say amen? So if I were to ever die and go to heaven, Kyle, I think you and I both, we would remember everything about heaven. One man said this. He said, "In the book, it is told that a baby sister heard Colton's testimony. She was a Christian who was wavering in her faith, riddled with doubt. As the story goes, her faith was confirmed by Colton's experience." Listen what the writer says. He says, "This type of stuff, it's this type of stuff that scares me." Listen to this. "When our faith is built on this type of tabloid theology, true or not, we can expect to have a tabloid faith. We do not need stories about people who have come back from the grave beyond to confirm our faith, and we certainly don't need these as the foundations of our faith. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you, I don't need Barnes and Noble and Amazon and all these companies to come out with secular books to tell me about heaven. I've got the final authority. I've got the Bible, the Word of God, Genesis to Revelation, that tells me everything I need to know about the subject of heaven. If you believe it, say amen. So we base our faith not on somebody's experience. We don't base our faith and reality of heaven by what somebody said because they supposedly died and went to heaven. We base our faith on the objective facts of the Word of God, and we don't waver to the right. We don't waver to the left. We stay right in the book. Can you say amen? And it's interesting that Paul's words are much different than people like Colton and other people who said they have died and went to heaven and came back. Basically, those who have died and went to heaven and come back, they talk about the sights and the sounds. But you know what? I believe if we were to die and to go to heaven and come back, we wouldn't be talking so much about the sights and the sounds. We would be talking about the Savior. We would be talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice what Paul's words were. His was much different than those who said they have died and come back. Paul says, I heard unspeakable words, which it's unlawful for a man to utter. That is, what I seen in heaven was so amazing. What I seen in heaven was so thrilling. What I seen in heaven was so beautiful that it's not even lawful for a man to even speak about it, let alone come back and talk about angels and grandpa and different colors that we've never seen. He says it's not even lawful. Here's what Paul's saying. Heaven is so amazing that human language cannot express the wonders and the beauties of that wonderful place called heaven. Can you say amen? So I know today that no matter what I'm going to say in the next few moments, it's not going to give the subject of heaven a whole lot of justice, because human language cannot even express about all the beauties and wonders of language of heaven. But we're going to do our best. And I want you to notice with me in verse number 2 and verse number 4 about this homecoming in heaven. First of all, you may be asking, where is heaven? Brother David, where is heaven? We hear about heaven, people who have talked about heaven. Where is this place called heaven? Paul tells us in verse 2 and verse number 4, he says in verse 2, he says, I was caught up to the third heaven. And then he also says, he talks about the paradise of God in verse number 4. In verse number 2, I was caught up to the third heaven. Verse number 4, he describes it as the paradise of God. Now, if there is a third heaven, logic says there must be a first and second heaven. If he was caught up to the third, then where is this first and second? First of all, the first heaven is what we would call the atmospheric heaven. That atmospheric heaven there extends about 6 miles above earth, and that's where the birds and that's where all the clouds and all that is at. You and I look out of our door today and we look up and we see the very first heaven. It's the atmospheric heaven. Now, beyond that heaven would be the second heaven, which we would call the stellar heaven. That's where the sun, the moon, the stars, and the planet and the space are out there in orbit. That would be the stellar heaven. But the third heaven is where Paul says it is the paradise of God. So there's coming a grand and glorious day, you and I, who will be raptured out of here. If we are still here, we will pass into the first heaven where the birds and the clouds are at. We'll pass into the second heaven beyond the Milky Way and the stars and the galaxy. And we will enter into the third heaven, which the Bible says is the paradise of God. Can you say amen? So Paul talks about this third heaven. You say, well, Brother David, where is it? 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 30. And hearken thou to the supplication of thy servant and of thy people Israel when thou shalt pray toward this place. Listen, and hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place. And when thou hearest, forgive. So the Bible teaches me that this place called heaven is the dwelling place of God. And somebody's observed that we see the first heaven by day. We see the second heaven by night. But you see the third heaven by faith. And that is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you say, Brother David, where is this third heaven? Exactly where is it at? Well, the Bible teaches me that this third heaven, it is up. It is up far beyond the stars and the galaxies. Verse 2 and verse 4 teaches us that. That heaven is up there, out there, somewhere, far beyond the stars. The Old Testament says in Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 15, look down from thy holy habitation from heaven, and bless thy people Israel, and the land which thou hast given us, as thou swearest unto thy fathers, a land that floweth with milk and honey. Deuteronomy says, Lord, look down from thy holy habitation. 2 Kings chapter 1, verse 10. And Elijah answered and said to the captain of the 50, if I be a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and the 50. And there came down fire from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Psalms chapter 14, verse 2. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. In the New Testament, Luke 24, verse 51, and it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. The Old Testament always says God looked down, meaning that God lives up in the heavens. Can you say amen? High up there, out there, far beyond the stars, the paradise of God is up there. And when Jesus died and rose again, he was here on planet Earth, and the Bible says he was carried up into heaven. Can I tell you where heaven is at? Heaven is up there, out there, far beyond the stars. It is the dwelling place of God. And since heaven is up and it's high and lifted up, that means heaven is on higher ground. And I can tell you, friend, when you're fighting a battle, when you've got the higher ground, you are always a winner. Let me tell you something. I've taken a sneak peek in the back of the book. I know we're living on higher ground. We've won. Can you say amen? Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah to God. We're living on higher ground. The Bible says it's up there. Now, this may burst your bubble now, all right? All you homegrown southern folks, my mom and dad are from the south, but I was raised there in the north. Now, this may burst your bubble, but the scripture seems to indicate that heaven is in the north. Jesus was a Yankee Doodle Dandy. Notice the words that are left out of this verse, all right? Listen, I'll show you. Psalm 75, verses 6 and 7. Listen, for promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. Notice what was missing. God is the judge. He putteth down one and sets up another. Notice Satan's words in his rebellion in Isaiah chapter 14, verse number 13. Here's what Satan said, or Lucifer rather. He says, for thou has said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation and the sides of the north. Up there, out there, far beyond the stars, somewhere pointing north, God dwells in the highest. Can you say amen? And as Jerry Vine said, he said, you can go to the sun and you'll find the heaven is not there. You can go all the way to Neptune, the farthest planet in our solar system, and you will find that heaven is not there. You can reach all the way out to Alpha Centauri, and they say that it's a place that has two suns six times bigger than our sun, and you will find that heaven is not there. You can go beyond that to the polar stars, and you will find that heaven is not there. You can go out to Vega, which is 440 times brighter than our solar system, and heaven is not there. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you, where is it at? Heaven is up there, out there, far beyond the stars. It exists way up there in the paradise of God, which is the third heaven. But here's what's unique. Although heaven may be so far away, and it's way up there, out there, far beyond the stars, it may be far away, but yet heaven is so near to you and I. Can you say amen? Why, it was so close that Jacob's ladder could reach it. It was so close that Elijah could say to his servant, open up your eyes and see the salvation of God and God's protection. It was so close that at the resurrection morning, the angel rolled the stone away and Jesus came out. It was so close that when Stephen was getting ready to die, he opened up his eyes and he seen Jesus Christ standing at the right hand of God the Father. Can you say amen? Though heaven may be far away, for the child of God, it is very near. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8, we are confident, and I say, and willing rather, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Where is heaven, Pastor? It is out there, far beyond the stars. But for the child of God who is saved, it's a present reality wherever we walk, whatever we do, wherever we go, heaven is near. Not only do we see where heaven is at, but what does heaven look like? Now, there's been all sorts of speculation as to what heaven looks like. We have people who said they died and went there and they seen this and that. I heard one guy say, one of the charismatic teachers say that he had a vision of heaven. And he said he went into this room that Jesus was playing in the river of life, came out of the river of life and actually took him to a room where there was a closet full of eyeballs. And he said, Lord, what's this closet full of eyeballs for? He said, well, that's where we heal people and we replace their eyeballs when you pray. And if you believe that, I've got some swamp land I want to sell you right after the service has got oil buried underneath. It's craziness. It's absolutely theological lunacy. You and I need to have critical thinking and look to see what the Word of God has to say. What does heaven look like? Revelation 21 gives us some answers. First of all, it will be a renovated creation. Verse number one, the Bible says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth was passed away, and there was no more sea. It's going to be literally a renovated creation. Now, what's interesting is Paul says there'll be no more sea there in heaven. I'm sorry, John, rather. John says there'll be no more sea. Now, why does he say there'll be no more sea in heaven? Why does he say that? You see, John is on the Isle of Patmos. He is there at this rock quarry, and he is there in prison for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as he's in prison there, he's looking across that Aegean Sea, and he's wondering about his friends, perhaps his family, and the churches that are there. That sea is what separates him from the fellowship of the people of God. And I believe that when John, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, when he was writing there, no more sea, I believe that he is saying there'll be no more separation. When you and I get to heaven, we'll never have to say goodbye. Death will be swallowed up in victory, and we will never, ever, ever, ever have to say goodbye. No more sea, no more separation, no more suffering for the cause of Christ. It will be victory for the child of God. Can you say amen? It will literally be a renovated creation. But then verse 2 says it'll also be a royal city. Verse number 2 says, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. Where is he at? God is up there. The Bible says this royal city is like one prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. It'll be a royal city. Look at verse 16. Not only will it be a renovated creation and a royal city, but look at verse 16. It will have a radiant condition. Heaven will be absolutely beautiful. Now the Bible says that the city lieth four square. Basically, this heaven is like a cube. It is 1,500 miles wide in every single direction. That is, it's 1,500 miles that way, that way, that way, that way, and behind me. 1,500 miles. It's almost like it's a cube. It's four square. That is 2,700,000,000 cubic miles of space. That means, one commentator says, it is 15 times more the surface than the entire surface of Earth. One commentator said it's been estimated that since Adam, there's been 30 billion people who have lived on the Earth. If you took all those 30 billion people who lived, if you take all those people, there would be enough room just on the first floor of heaven. Can you say amen? Now, I'm going to put my bid in for the high rise, all right, up there in heaven. Just on the first floor of heaven. You say, Brother David, what's the Bible saying? The Bible's saying this, there's enough room for you. It's not a crowded Sunday school class. It's not a crowded church. It's not a crowded auditorium. There's enough room in heaven for you. Can you say amen? The Bible says it is a radiant condition. Not only that, but I like this. It's going to have a reverberating choir. Boy, the choir is going to be absolutely amazing. You know, I believe when we get to heaven, there'll be some wonderful singing there. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, and they sung a new song. Revelation chapter 14, verse 3, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. When you and I get to heaven, there's going to be some wonderful, beautiful music in heaven. Can you say amen? You see, for the first time time in heaven. The saints of God will be united together, and we will assemble a choir that's absolutely amazing, and it will reverberate through all of heaven. That's why John said, when I listened into heaven, he said, I heard a voice like thundering. It was like lightning that was going on. The choir of heaven was singing, God has saved us. He has settled us. He has secured us. We are safe and secure in the arms of God, and we're going to sing. Can you say amen? It's a reverberating choir. But notice this, it'll also have a remarkable cure. Revelation 21, verse 27. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whosoever worketh abomination or maketh lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Verse 25, the Bible says, and the gates of it shall not be shut all day, for there shall be no night there. Aren't you glad, friend, that Jesus Christ will be the light of that city? Here's what I want you to do today. I want you to examine yourself and see whether or not you're of the faith. And at the end of this service, we're going to give an invitation. And if you feel like coming and praying and saying, God, I want to be a part of that heaven. I want to be there. Lord, oh, how beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free. Fair haven of rest for the weary. Oh, how beautiful heaven must be. Friend, if you want to see heaven one of these days, you need to put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. At the end of this service, we're going to give you that opportunity. I want you to bow your heads. We're going to pray as our group comes, and we're going to welcome them here in the next few moments. Father in heaven, I pray that you bless the remainder of this service. May your glory, Lord, be seen in this place. Lead us and guide us and direct us by your Holy Spirit to do what's right in the eyes of the Lord, and we will thank you and we will praise you for who you are, for what you have done, and what you're going to do. Now, in the remainder of this service, God, I pray that you'd anoint this group. God, that you would use them for your honor and for your glory. God, may we lift up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And those that may be contemplating their eternal destiny, may they settle it forever today as they put their faith and their trust in you. And we will thank you and praise you for it. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen.